Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesarino back here for our episode number 10 recap here in the Island of the Idols. And there's been, you know, so much going on in the Survivor world in this past week and a half that it brings me, you know, some comfort to bring in the co-host of Talking with T-Bird. Here she is, the great T-Bird Cooper. T-Bird, how are you?
Hello, Rob. Excited to be here with you today as we're trying to get everything set up.
Yes.
I don't feel like you and I have talked for so long because This summer we were spending so much time together. So It feels like it's been a long time. So I am very excited to be back with you today.
Yeah, T-Bird, you're shut out of a cannon when we haven't talked in like 4 days. So this has been, you know, about 2 months since you and I have gotten a chance to talk.
I know. I've missed you. I've missed you. So I'm glad I'm back.
Yeah, I missed you too. Yes.
So, you know, I fly internationally.
Yes.
And so last week, you know, I was flying. I've got to fly usually during the week. So did anything happen last week that I missed?
Oh, you skipped an episode?
Well, actually not.
Yeah.
Hey, I thought if Steven can use that excuse, I can use it too.
Hey,
it worked for him for 2 weeks.
Three weeks, T-Bird.
Oh, 3 weeks.
Look, I don't want to hear any conspiracy theories about if Stephen Fishback planned his vacation schedule around this. But T-Bird, okay, I'm really glad that you're here with me because I feel like that as the most optimistic person that I know, that I really feel like that you know, the timing worked out great that you were available to come on and talk with me about this week's episode. Because T-Bird, as I've been sort of like preparing for talking about the episode again today, what I've found is that I feel like that in a way, at least for me personally, and I've tried not to, you know, personalize, you know, too much of this situation, and I don't, you know, ever want to make it about me. But what I'm struggling with is figuring out how to talk about this episode, because I feel like that last week was almost easier, where it was much more clear to me how to talk about the episode last week. But this episode, I'm struggling with, you know, how do I find the right balance between not forgetting about what we saw last week and then talking about what happened in this last episode, which is my job to talk about.
Right. So are you asking me where we go from last week and without totally ignoring what happened into this week?
I think that's the challenge of, you know, what we're faced with.
Okay. Gosh, I've thought about this so much through the week, because I know when I was watching it, I just had a really sick feeling. And it was the same exact feeling I had when I was watching Game Changers with Zeke and with Jeff, with Varner. And I think, first off, God, I have so many emotions like everybody else, and it kind of depends on what side of everything you are, your own. So I guess what I came out with after it's, you know, been a week now is if we can learn something, and I think we can. I mean, I even learned something from watching what Janet went through and to see how Missy and Elizabeth, what they've gone through and how they've apologized, and then feeling for Kelly. So, you know, it's easy for me, and I guess I didn't even mention Dan. I mean, I don't think we've heard anything from Dan all week. So as crazy as this sounds, you know, I worry a little, you know, I worry for him too. He has a family. He has two young children. And Rob, you know, it's different when you're playing, I think, when you're playing, you know, as a younger person, and of course, everybody has families, but when you're playing as a mom or a dad and you want to, you know, send any kind of a lesson on to your children or of how you played. And it's kind of like Janet did when she, even this week, how she started off. I think the whole show started out with her, you know, just saying that quitting was not an option for her because she's never quit anything, and she would so regret it because she wants to be such a strong example for her children, her grandchild, her husband, and her beach family. So again, I feel for everybody involved because there's so many layers to this and so many people have been affected. But in the last week, what I've seen is just the apologies, the comments Jamal has made, which were fantastic. It's really been helpful. So if we could all learn something from this, then it's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm really trying to, you know, find the right chords to play with talking about all of this. And I just, you know, have come back to T-Bird. I've been watching a Mr. Rogers documentary all week, for a little bit every night. And you know, I'm just, Mr. Rogers is having a moment. And I'm just, you know, really struck by, you know, I loved him when I was a kid, but like learning about him as an adult, and there's just so many things that I learned about him. And there's the new movie that's coming out, but, you know, that he really, like, his, you know, philosophy was that, you know, we all have these many feelings, and whatever we're feeling, it's okay to be feeling that however you feel. Like, that's okay, especially, you know, as long as you're not hurting anybody, that however you feel about this whole situation, that's okay. And I think that's what also makes it so complicated. And I don't think you should tell anybody else how to feel, but however you're feeling about whatever is going on, you know, in Survivor or in outside of Survivor, that's, you know,
100%.
Yeah. So,
Rob, I mean, absolutely, Rob. And then another thing that I think maybe Jamal pointed out, and it made so much sense. And I know for you as a player, you've played twice. We're at our little small bubble. And sometimes when you watch it play back and you see every side at one time, then you're like, oh gosh, I should have done this, or oh gosh, I should have done that. Well, a lot of times you don't know exactly how it's playing out for everybody until you see that. Does that make sense at all?
You're talking about from the perspective of the players?
Yes. Yes. And for example, the players, again, we don't know what kind of place they were in at the time, how they reacted. And I know, you know, production has taken a lot of slack too, because it seems like, I guess as Aaron would said this week, the perfect storm, which, you know, there's so many things that happen that it looks like could have been prevented or stopped, but it's not till the whole thing played out that it's like, oh gosh, this is not good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and even, I think maybe Jamal even said that, you know, these are good people, but they're in a game, a very complex game that to me is so much more demanding emotionally and psychologically than physically, times 100. And, you know, a lot of time you sit there not knowing. Again, for example, I know Missy. I feel like I know Missy pretty well. I've gotten around her and we text and we talk. And she's a very strong, strong woman, very passionate woman. And when I first saw it, my first reaction was, I didn't expect her to not say anything. And then I'm thinking, well,
you're talking about last week.
Last week.
Yes.
So then I'm thinking, well, in that moment right there where she was, you know, upset, feeling like, you know, that Janet had turned on her and Janet wanted her out. She's got everything she's thinking. So, like I said, it's easy to look at the whole thing and say, oh gosh, this should have happened. So I guess what I took out of that is for Janet to have done what she did when clearly it was not, you know, in her best interest gameplay, but is as in a human being looking out for somebody else. And of course, she's gotten, you know, gotten so much love and so much respect for what she did. And I know the other players out there, you know, wish they could have done it differently after seeing how the whole thing played out.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I say, like, even with Aaron making the comments he made, and he, of course, came out and apologized as well. You're only looking at, it's kind of like you said, whatever your feelings are. And then it's kind of like you talk it out, and then somebody else says, but wait a minute, this, and what about this? Then you're like, oh, yeah, you're right. I didn't think of that. I didn't think of it like that. But now I see how you're feeling. I understand. So as long as the conversation is still open and everybody's talking about it and learning from each other, it's a good thing. And I feel like people have pulled together with it. It is a good thing.
Yeah, I would like to see, you know, more talking about this, that I feel like that specifically Jeff and the production, I think it would not be hard to say that they could do a better job talking about this. There was an interview that Dalton Ross did today with Jeff Probst about the whole situation and the backlash. And Jeff had, you know, pretty short answers for, you know, this is maybe one of the biggest controversies in the history of the show. I think it probably, you know, could have used a little bit more of a dialogue, at least from, you know, the person that's really at the helm of this thing. And at least in terms of we totally understand what the issues are. And, you know, we know that people are so upset. And in terms of the players that went home this week in Aaron and Missy, I don't know if you saw this, that Dalton Ross had posted on Twitter that how there's not going to be any exit press this week, which, look, I know that there are lots of reasons why somebody would not want to, but I also feel like that there's an opportunity there also to, you know, help with moving past this. And I just think for so many of the parties involved, yes, like there is, you know, there were apologies, but, you know, I just think that the more people that, you know, are out in front and, you know, this was a mistake. I made a mistake. And then I feel like that we can all, you know, start to move forward as the more people are, you know, owning what happened. And I know it's a big challenge.
So I did not hear that they were not doing exit interviews.
And I don't mean to, I'm not trying to shame any, that I saw that they were, that Dalton Ross posted that. And then people were, you know, dragging them. And so what I say to that is, the reason why they probably don't want to do the interviews is because too many people dragged them on Twitter, where that had people, you know, left them alone. And who knows what type of, you know, threatening messages that they received. You know, we don't know what's going on in their world. And that speaks.
Are you saying for Missy and
yes,
Aaron said they do not want to do the exit interviews?
They don't want to do
them. They opted out. All right, so CBS are not the ones that said, hey, look, we're better off if y'all, they're the ones that agree.
Yeah, just to tell you from my perspective, so that I usually get the times for the exit press. And so they told me that they were going to let me know, you know, they were still on the fence if they were going to do it or not. And so they don't want to do the exit press. And, you know, that's certainly their prerogative. But I do feel like that there's, you know, an opportunity for, you know, helping with the healing from this. And there were many people at fault in terms of this. But I don't think that it would have hurt things where, and again, I am not in their shoes, so I cannot speak to this. But I just feel like as a general rule, as humans, when we screw something up, that we should, you know, come out. And both, you know, Aaron had a very heartfelt apology, which seemed from my perspective to be universally accepted, where I thought the people gave Aaron actually a lot of praise for the apology video that he made where he was crying about the whole thing. And so I really don't know, you know, if he would have, you know, what kind of backlash, but he would have gotten in terms of interviews. But Again, I am not them. So I would say that it's disappointing, but I respect the decision.
I'm surprised. I don't know why. You know me. You know how I am, Rob. But I would think that both of them would have wanted. They're players and they're people with very strong personalities, and I mean that in a very good way. I am very surprised to hear that they wouldn't say, "Hey, gosh, okay, this is how I was feeling when it happened, and this is why I said that." There's so many variables in this game to make them react the way they did, and it'd be nice. I agree with you. It would be nice to hear their story without feeling like, unfortunately, that they're being bashed on the guy. Social media can be very, very cruel.
Yeah.
And Rob, we've all made mistakes in some form or fashion. And, of course, we don't usually have the whole world watching it to comment on it. But we're all people that make mistakes. These are good people as well that I'm sure feel badly for what they did. But under the circumstances, they could explain and say, "Hey, this is what happened. Gosh, if I could do it over again, this is what I would do differently." I have to agree with you with that. So, no, yeah. I did not hear that. And I am a little bit surprised. And I think, because even last week when we talked, Rob, I asked you, has anybody heard from Dan? Because, again, he's a dad. And I can't even imagine, because at some point he's got to continue on with his life. And I thought, isn't it easier to come out and try to at least, you're not going to have everybody that's going to say, "Oh, okay, then." That's just life. People are going to disagree, but at least try to explain what made you do what you did and why you didn't feel that it was so offensive to people.
And maybe there is no explanation, and that's why we have. But yeah, I don't want to. That's just speculation.
Right. And you know what? So I guess it's self-awareness, Rob, because I was watching Dan, and I thought, I don't think he realizes. And I know Dan, how old is Dan? Dan's, he's under 50, isn't he? He's 40, 48, 49, right under 50. You would think that this might have come up at some point, but he clearly seemed like it was surprising to him. So I wondered, have we heard anything through the week about anybody coming out saying anything? We haven't, have we?
No. Radio silence from what I've seen publicly, that there's been no response from Dan, which that was the one. He's the one person, who did not issue any sort of apology about this whole matter. And we're just left to speculate, does he not feel like he has anything to apologize for, or is he not able to comment at this time? So we don't really know exactly what the reason for that would be.
But Rob, let's just think about this. You figure if Missy and Aaron don't want to do exit interviews because of the backlash or the emotional, I'm sure the last week has been very difficult for them. You can only imagine why Dan's not, showing up anywhere. So at some point, that's going to have to happen. But again, we're all human. We make mistakes, and it's sad. It's sad and unsettling for me, for the people that have been brought down by it and touched by it, who have gone through circumstances that has brought this back up into their life, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So
I've heard from so many people in these now outside of the game, where we have all these people that went through this experience and have all of these hurts that came from being a part of this whole experience than there were, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that were then affected by watching this on last week's show and now have these, different things, that these experiences and traumas that have happened to them that have been now brought back up to the surface. And what makes it so hard now is that the show treated it as like, okay, now let's, just go back to business as usual. And I think there's just so many people that are not in that space yet to go back to business as usual.
Right. Hey, Rob, do you think, because I've thought about this too, do you think that CBS didn't have a feeling that this was going to explode like it did? I know that's crazy for me to say, but I kind of keep thinking that just because.
I would say that they, and this is just totally, my guess, that I think that they had a hope that it wouldn't blow up like this. And, as has been, many people have said, hope is not a strategy. And right. I think it also just speaks to where, there's so many people that really could, come out and say more and, admit to making mistakes here. And I think it would help the healing in terms of just everybody. All right, let's just, not talk about this thing that happened.
Right. And so Rob, Survivor is a social experiment. So I know when I've heard people through the seasons, fans, players, however, will say, well, they shouldn't have shown that and they shouldn't have aired that. And I think, yeah, but they should have, because you're telling a story. You're telling a story about 18 or 20 people living together. And it's just like, to me, Survivor mirrors life. It mirrors office politics. It mirrors everything. And so to bring all this out in the open, I think is a good thing. If you can, like we're talking about, talk about it and make everybody more aware of what the other person is saying. That's the beneficial thing. That's the therapeutic thing.
Yeah. T-Bert, what was your reaction watching the episode last night? Did you find yourself getting back into it, or did you struggle?
No, I got back into it. Because I was so, okay, so everybody's reactions are different, Rob.
Yes.
So I can tell you a reaction that I had as I was watching it last week. And I think it depends on what has happened to you personally in your life.
Certainly.
So when I watched it, immediately as I was watching Janet, the feeling so excluded and feeling like, I think she said, she just the way she felt right away, I thought my heart went out to her and I was heartbroken, because for me, that was a form of bullying. It, only because for me, as I watched it, I thought nobody taken up for her. And now she feels so bullied and such an outcast. And that's what I felt. My heartache went to her, and maybe it's because of things I've experienced through the years where other people, and then as I've watched it again, and as I've heard feedback, then I would go, to Kelly and how Kelly must have been feeling. And then I went to here. So I think depending on your experiences in your life, and so the question you asked me is, how did I feel when I started watching this week, did I get back into it? Because I saw that enormous outpour of love for Janet from the minute it happened, that I thought, she's going to be okay. She's going to be okay because she stood up for what she believed in, taking herself out of the game. And it was such a human reaction she had. And then to see her progress in the game this week. So that made it easier for me to get back into it. If mm-hmm. I had seen her, feeling like she was being, put down or whatever, then it would have been a lot harder. But I was happy to see how she was doing.
Yeah. T-Bird, I could see you being in that Janet position where I could see you, you know, really, you know, sticking up for somebody that you felt like was, you know, getting a raw deal. Is that, would you agree with that?
Oh, gosh, I would absolutely 100%. I would hope so. And for whatever reason, Rob, when I see somebody that's, I can't just not say anything. So I would absolutely hope so. And I'll tell you what she did that I know I would have done. And I loved how she said, let's go over here. Let's get Elizabeth. Let's get Missy, Dan, and let's talk to them. And so she said, didn't you tell me this? And didn't you tell me that? So because I think what happens a lot in Survivor is you're counting on, you're betting on that people don't talk to each other. You want to be able to, you know, you want to set some put something in somebody's head and hope that they don't go ask questions. And then all of a sudden, and of course, that's what happens a lot of times for people to turn on each other because somebody just tells them something that's not true. So I love that Janet went straight to Elizabeth and Missy with Dan and said, okay, let's get this out the open. Let's talk about this. So, I mean, she handled it beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that.
She's also been, you know, pretty vocal on social media also about, you know, please, you know, don't send hate to the rest of the cast. And to me, I think that the same thing that made her go to bat for Kelly when it wasn't in her best interest, I feel like that, you know, that's that same instinct of, you know, please, like, you know, be, you know, I know that you guys are sending me love, but also, you know, don't send hate to my friends and the people that I played the game with. You know, don't, she's even now still trying to go to bat for the people she cares about.
Right. She's, you know, because what a wonderful woman she is. Because Rob, tell me if you think this is true for you, because it is for me. So the 16 of us that played together, we have a bond so unique,
yeah,
that I feel like with all these 15 other people, I can pick up the phone at any time and call. And you know what happened out there with Lex and me, with how, you know, I remember coming off on my exit interviews, and I remember interview after interview after interview, I kept saying, Lex is a great guy. Lex is not a bad guy, because he's just like Missy, very passionate. Very passionate about the game, takes a leadership role, very assertive. And he said things that all of a sudden turned him into a villain literally overnight when I cast that vote against him. And for whatever reason, I was so disappointed and sad for him, because it seems like social media just immediately turned on him, and then he was a villain. And mm-hmm. You, Lex, is like the nicest, will do anything for anybody. He's like the most wonderful guy you could ever meet. So that's what I'm saying. It's you get in this game and you start saying things, and it doesn't necessarily mean that's who you are. It's just whatever passion you're displaying may be taken differently than maybe the way you're wanting it to show.
Yeah. The you know, the feuds you have on the island, you have no idea what those current relationships are in real life now. And so, you know, it's hard to, you know. I understand the perspective of the viewer, because I'm often, you know, just somebody who gets these 42 minutes of TV that I have to talk about for hours on end. So I certainly understand that perspective also, but you just don't know what the current status of any of these relationships are and any sort of healing that went on in real life. So, you know, you're litigating something that, you know, happened, you know, a year ago.
And that's what I was wondering about, too. I thought it'll be interesting to see once the season is over and complete, you know, then you see everybody at, you know, at the finale, and they're all hugging each other. And Jeff's like, well, were you upset with them? And they're all hugging, and they've all made up, and they know it was, you know, part of the game. But unfortunately, because it was such a very, very sensitive matter, it's the people that are on the outside of the game, like we've talked about, that are affected from the way it was handled. So it'll be interesting to see once it's all said and done and this season's put to bed, mm-hmm. how many of these players formed close, tight relationships. And they, you know, usually they do.
Yeah. T-Bird, one of your Survivor Africa tribe mates had a good tweet last week. Clarence Black tweeted, "Remember the good old days on Survivor when the bad guy just stole food?"
Oh, God. I love him. I love Clarence. See, you know what? That's so funny that you mentioned Clarence. Clarence, that was great. That was mm-hmm. awesome. But again, you know, he took a lot of slack for that.
Sure.
He took a lot of slack for that. And, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of people who got a bad edit.
Yeah, he, but you know, he's got such a wicked, wonderful sense of humor. And that's kind of, again, like I say, as far as things that you do in the game that kind of stay with you, I guess. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, Clarence. Oh,
yeah. And T-Bird, I mean, that this might be the good jumping off point. I think that there are some listeners that say, hey, we should just go into talking with T-Bird every week.
Yeah, talking with T-Bird. Oh, my gosh. So
forget
I know
the rest
I
of the season.
Yeah, so I've got a list of people I'm trying to pull together. I'm trying to make it as interesting and get some great people. Of course, they're all interesting. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
We'll have to talk about that.
I'm teasing because, you know, I watched the episode again this morning. And I would say that, you know, the second time that I went through it, you know, I actually did, you know, enjoy watching it more because, you know, I think that last night when I watched it, I was just watching it with like a sense of dread of like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Is everybody okay? Is everything, you know, I hope that, you know, we're not going to have any, you know, anything else like last week. And then, you know, watching it today for the second time, knowing, you know, what was coming, that I was able to, you know, pick up a few more things about the episode. So let's talk about the game and where we're at. And T-Bird, do you like this idea of when they end up splitting these the groups? And we did it in Ghost Island, and then we did it here. But do you think that it's good TV, but is it fair to just go from, you know, you have your alliances, you have your group, and then we sort of like break down into two random groups?
Rob, you know, that's the question you ask, are these all the idols fair? I mean, it's part of changing up the game that you've got to be ready for anything and everything. You got to keep it interesting. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's as fair as anything else. It keeps it interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, going into it, what did everybody think? Janet, Karishma, Janet. And then all of a sudden, the two that I thought at this point, because they were still in the game, Missy and Aaron, I thought these two are going to take it to the end. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, Karishma's safe, Janet's safe, and we've got totally, the game is turned upside down. And that's, I mean, I think that's what the fans and the viewers love to see.
I guess so. I mean, the way that it worked out here were two of the bigger physical threats on the board end up going home in this spot. Now, the first time they did it, I don't know if you remember how this went down. They did it on Ghost Island, and it was Michael Yerger and Jenna ended up going home. And so as far as like Michael Yerger goes, again, he was like one of the bigger physical threats on the board. It just seems like it's exciting that we do this, but it does work out where in, you know, three out of the four people that we're talking about were just whoever's the biggest physical threat ends up just being the person who gets targeted here. And I know you have two chances to win the necklace because they're going to give, you know, one away for each group. But it just seems like that it's exciting, but I don't know if it necessarily is a good thing for the game.
Well, everybody knows, I mean, back when I played, everybody knows that once you merge, your physical threats are going.
Yeah.
That's just kind of the way it goes. And so that they let
not,
Aaron.
Yeah, not Ethan, Aaron, not Lex.
Well, hey, that's right. Because Lex kept winning. Mm-hmm. Winning. So, but Aaron, he's a powerhouse. I remember I was tweeting every week. He looked like Hercules out there. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, he's going to win all these immunities if they don't watch out for him. So that he was still, like I said, because he was still in the game, and Missy the same way, the way she's so focused on this game. And I thought they're going to let them get to the end. Now, Aaron probably, I guess, could have done a little bit of crowd control, but we didn't see that he was
what
trying to do
that. What do you mean by crowd control?
Well, he looked like basically, I mean, we saw the group talking, and it looked like Nora, who, by the way, I'm going to have to say this. I'm usually I cannot pick the winner, but
yeah.
I am usually, for whatever reason, really good at picking the first boot.
Yes.
I don't know why, but Nora, I'm sorry, but I have to tell you this. Nora was the one I thought would be the first boot. Hands down. I'm like, oh, that's it. She's it. And we've watched Nora. It looked like Nora was the one that convinced them, hey, we got to get Aaron out of here.
Mm-hmm.
By herself, she looked like she did it. So it kind of looked like Aaron might have gotten a little bit too comfortable, because even when he at Tribal Council even made a comment of saying, hey, this is the first time I hadn't been here with the necklace on, I thought, ooh, I'm not sure how to mention that. So it just looked like he got a little bit too comfortable with that, and it didn't maybe play it, you know, talk to his group like I meant crowd control. And with Missy, the same thing. Missy, you know, the way she was talking to Karishma, and again, I know it's that passionate side of Missy, and you know, it might appear that she's yelling to you, but she's passionate, so she's talking loud, and she's kind of, you know, if she'd have handled Karishma a little more gently, then she probably would have been okay.
Yeah.
But, and I tell you what, it was so great. So Nora last night, Nora, God love her. She, what would we do without Nora on this season?
Yeah.
I don't even know, because Nora,
she has been a bright spot.
She is a bright spot, because she is, if she's thinking it, she's going to say it. And her talking about Karishma being, well, you'd think she was 85 years old.
Yeah.
You know, just her comments, part of the elderly group. She's, you know, she's inconsistent. She's, I don't know all the words.
She never gets coconuts.
She never gets coconuts. She's part of the elderly group. She's crazy. And then Nora can get away with saying, I guess now I'm learning, saying and doing just about anything. And then she goes up and she's talking to Karishma, and she says, now go get, she kind of told her, basically, why don't you get up? And basically, the way I read it, go ahead and go find an idol, which Karishma did.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Nora had a lot to do with that little pep talk that, you know, made Karishma go find her idol. But
yeah.
Even Nora talking about all of a sudden Aaron's being such a physical and a social threat, and that all of a sudden now he doesn't have the necklace. So what's, you know, Aaron's what? A deer in the woods, unattended, alone.
Yeah.
No people by his side. So Nora, you know, we have a clear shot. Why wouldn't we take it? And so I've seen Nora going from the player she was at the very beginning to the player she is now. And again, I'm glad she's still out there, because I want to see, Rob, I want to see players play this game that are passionate. Wherever your passion leads, you know, you've got Missy that's very, very passionate about this game. And then, of course, you've got Nora. And I want to see people like that out there playing, where we've got some players that are just, and I know every personality is different, but we've got people that are so laid back. I love to see these characters, you know, that are really passionate and colorful out there playing.
Yeah. T-Bird, would you be able to get along with a Nora type?
Oh, gosh. I would hope so, because I think, you know, it kind of seems like everybody's kind of like well, oh, that's just Nora. Oh, that's just Nora. So they kind of, I think somebody like Nora, yes. I think somebody that maybe is putting you down or that's, I mean, Nora, I think, does everything kind of in a playful way, if that makes sense. And you just, so somebody like Nora, you know, I would keep around. And of course, at this point of the game, you absolutely want to keep her around.
Yes.
So, yes.
Yeah. She's always laughing.
Oh, and Rob, when she's doing that challenge, I enjoyed watching that immunity challenge. And then somebody said something about her jumping, you know, her stepping down or jumping. She didn't step down. She did like
jumped
a big cheerleading. She did a cheerleading jump down. She was so proud of herself. And then, you know, they were talking about the PB&J, and I think she commented, oh, maybe they'll share it with us. She just, Nora has not a care in the world.
Yeah, that's what Boston Rob says. She's living in Nora world.
She is. So, you know, her sticking around, I think, is going to be a good thing for comic relief, because she's good.
Okay.
She's very entertaining.
T-Bird, I want to ask you about Karishma, and I have to give credit to Shannon Gates, who was on the Survivor Know-It-Alls last night, and she did a great job of talking about Karishma's decision, and she was very much in favor of the move that Karishma did to go after Missy. I was saying that I think I would have gone after Tommy if I was Karishma. What did you make of Karishma's decision at the Tribal Council?
Well, Karishma, from what I believe Karishma said, she felt bullied by Missy.
Yes.
Now, so perception is reality. Perception is reality. So if that's the way she felt, then to be around somebody like that out there is, you asked me, you know, could I play with a Nora? Yes. But I'll tell you, even in Africa, we had a couple of players on our tribe that were very belittling. And if you had told me you've got to keep them in to advance here or there, I'd have probably, it'd have been difficult. Because the game is so difficult anyway, that if you've got day 27 right now, if you've got to be around people that you don't feel comfortable with, and I think if Karishma had not found the idol, now this is going to sound crazy, if Karishma had not found the idol, she was in such a low, low, low place when she walked off through the jungle.
Yeah.
When our jungle queen took off through the jungle, she was at such a low place. Now, if she had come back without an idol, I don't know if this is true, but I think maybe Missy would have had a little bit more control over her, if that makes sense, which is what Missy wanted. But when Karishma found the idol, Karishma was then on cloud nine. She knew that her game had changed, and she had a side to her that she just thought her whole, and again, it elevated her game. And that's exactly what she needed to change her whole attitude, which meant, I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do anymore in a way that I'm not comfortable with. So I think if she hadn't have gotten that idol, Missy could have controlled her even more from the, you know, the position she was in at that point. But once she got the idol, I think that's when I think Elaine said, you just have to handle Karishma more gently with compassion and understanding.
Yeah.
That's what Elaine had mentioned, which made total sense. And I think Missy was coming at her in a place that made it more difficult, especially since she knew she had the idol and that her whole gameplay was getting ready to change.
Yeah, the whole Karishma arc did sort of change on a dime when she found that idol. And that can happen on Survivor. In my season in the Amazon, you know, Jenna Maraska towards the end of the game was pretty much, I mean, she was checked out. She was ready to quit. She wasn't feeling good. She wanted to go home. She was saying, like, we should vote her out and keep Heidi because she wanted to go home. And so what did we do? Naturally, we kept her around and voted out Heidi, who was like firing on all cylinders and ready to go. But then, you know, Jenna ends up then she rallied. She won the immunity and then at Final Four and then went on to win the game after that. And she ended up just like, you know, getting hot at the right time. And Karishma, she got a break. And now all of a sudden she's, you know, red hot and she found her voice.
Yep, she found her lifeline, I think is what she said. And now she's going to make a name for herself in the game. So that idol, which, you know, was just enough to pick her up, and it's going to be so interesting to watch her play out the next few weeks, because she knows to win the game, if she can get to the end, she's got to have a resume. Mm-hmm. We all know that. And, you know, her going against Missy might be, that's going to be part of her resume.
Yeah.
So, no, I think I can see absolutely why she did it. Yeah, Tommy's one of those that you're going to have to check, you know, keep him in check. But I would be more concerned about Elaine and Janet. Those are the ones I'd be concerned about.
Well,
and
go ahead.
And I was going to say, I think we've got a sleeper. And I'll tell you who the sleeper is, because she has slipped by me the whole time. Do you know who it is?
The sleeper that's gotten by you the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess Elizabeth.
She started on Vokai.
Lauren.
No, Lauren. Lauren is a sleeper.
I said Lauren.
Yeah, you're right. Yes, Lauren. Lauren.
Where's that belt, Bert?
No, wait.
Yes.
It's in the floor. You don't have to keep it the floor now. It's too loud. Okay. So, Lauren, but I thought at first you said, who'd you say at first? Well, Lauren.
First I said Elizabeth, and then you said no. And then I said Lauren, and you said no.
Yes.
It's Lauren.
No, yes, Lauren. Yeah. There, I hit it again. Okay. So, I think Lauren may be doing some things behind the scenes that we're not seeing. I mean, she's playing a really under-the-radar game, so she's kind of slipping in there. But right now, I would not, absolutely 100% would not want to sit with Elaine. 100% wouldn't. Or Janet. And I'll tell you what, and I love her. If I had been on Missy's good side, that's one thing. But I would have had to have gotten Missy out of the game too, because she's definitely has been building a really strong resume. Mm-hmm. With how she's played. She almost won immunity. I mean, she was the final. It was just her and Elaine on the challenge last night, which, by the way, Elaine looks like she could have been doing that for another couple of days. She didn't look like. Did you notice how effortlessly it looked?
Yeah.
I mean, she kept looking over and, you know, looking over and wondering. She didn't, and where, bless her heart, Missy just looked like hers was just, I just kept kind of thinking, okay, come on. But Elaine looks like it was like, absolutely nothing. So anyway,
yeah, she said that was a redneck game. That if any of our listeners know, is this a thing? Is this a thing? Has Elaine done this before?
Well, I don't know. She said she's good at redneck things, and you know, she's up there with all those athletes playing a redneck game. I don't know. I kind of thought of it. I was trying to think what that meant, because you know, I'm down here in the country, you know,
mm-hmm.
And I was thinking the only thing that kind of somewhat reminded me of that was the hula hoop. But of course the hula hoop's around your waist.
Yeah.
But that's all I could think about, that maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. T-Bird.
That's all I could think of.
I really think that Elaine has been underestimated to this point. When I watched the episode again this morning, you know, I remember certainly, you know, the conversation that Missy had with Karishma, and Missy, I think her approach is always the same. And it works on some people, seems to work on Elizabeth, and maybe because Elizabeth is an athlete and is used to sort of, okay, the coach is telling you, all right, here's what we're doing now. We're doing this. Okay, got it. Whereas that approach did not work at all with Karishma. But we saw Elaine then go, and she knew exactly the right notes to hit with Karishma. And I think that people, you know, have, you know, she talked about it, you know, I'm just a little can of biscuits and, you know, underestimated all the time. And, you know,
Rob, busted. She yeah. said, busted can of biscuits.
All right, I'm busted can of biscuits. And you know, she's, we look at her and everything. Okay, oh, she's fun. But in terms of being much of a player, I don't know if we've given her a lot of credit, but I think that she was really the key person in putting that vote together to get Missy out last night.
Well, yeah, what I think what got her really, really interested is when Karishma told her that Missy wanted Tommy to go.
Yeah.
And that's when, so that's when, for whatever reason, Elaine was like, oh, no, that can't happen. Tommy can't go. So she's playing
can't
the game.
Lose Big Red.
Yeah, Big Red. The only thing, like I'm saying, this is, you got to kind of find this balance. I love that we've got, you know, we've got all these 20 players with all these big, huge, diverse personalities. You have to have that. You can't have everybody that's similar. So, but I just can't see, again, Elaine is so liked that surely the people that are out there playing with her are going to know. Even I can see Janet squeaking through before letting Elaine get through there. Because, I mean, who doesn't like her? She's you can't help but like her. And you can't help, you look at it, if there's two or there's three at the end, like I've always said, if it can't be me, if I can't win, who do I want to represent my season?
Mm-hmm.
Do I want somebody like, give me a final three. Let's just make it up. Do I want Dean? Do I want Dean? Do I want Dan? No. Or do I want, Elaine?
Yeah.
I think I want Elaine. So if it can't be you, you're usually looking at who do you want to represent this season?
Mm-hmm.
That was a big thing for me. So, yeah, I don't. They better watch Elaine, definitely 100% for sure.
Do you see any similarities between Elaine and our friend Big Tom?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I do. Because Big Tom, Rob, and you played with Big Tom.
I did.
Big Tom is one of those, he's smart as a fox. He's going to give you the impression that he's not, but he's so, so smart and he's so likable. But if you don't think gameplay is on his mind every minute, it is. And it was. So, yeah, exactly. I see those two seem very similar to me.
Both of them, I think Elaine and Big Tom, both wear that cloak of like, hey, I don't know nothing about this game. You know, I'm just happy to be here, you know. And
right.
I think that Elaine has really done, even when she won immunity, you know, she talks about like, what? It's just a redneck game. I'm not good at anything. You know, she's always just, you know, downplaying what she does. And I really think that we laughed in the first episode where they were talking about, hey, if Elaine gets to the end, she'll win. And she was like, well, you have to get rid of me now. And it's like, well, now she's kind of getting far in the game. And, you know, I think it's a, you know, or she's a real threat to ultimately be the winner of this thing.
Yeah, I like her. I like her a lot.
Yeah.
I liked her from the very beginning. I mean, how do you not like her?
Yeah.
How do you not like her? She's kind to everybody. She's funny. She's down to earth. So, yeah, absolutely. So, Elaine, let's see. And then, Tom, tell me about Dean. What's the story about our Dean?
Before we talk about Detective Dean, can I take a moment and thank a sponsor? It's been, a challenge to get to some of these breaks. But
yes! Yeah,
all right. Let's take a moment and mention our friends over at the Purple Mattress. Of course, we know how hard it is to sleep, especially when you're on Survivor. Even when you don't have a rat crawling across you and going into your mouth, like what happened to Karishma, getting a good night's sleep is important, right, T-Bird?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's where the Purple Mattress comes into play. The Purple Mattress was founded by two brothers who've been developing cushioning technology for 30 years on things like medical beds and wheelchairs. And in 2016, they decided to use their patent technology to create Purple, the world's most scientific mattress. The reason why the Purple Mattress is different than anything you've experienced, because it uses a brand new material that was developed by a rocket scientist, and it's not like the memory foam that you're used to. The Purple Mattress feels unique because it's both firm and soft at the same time, so it helps keep everything supported while you're still feeling comfortable. Plus, it's breathable, so it sleeps cool. It ends up giving you a zero gravity feel that works in any sleeping position and with a 100-night risk-free trial backed by a 10-year warranty with free shippings in return, free in-home setup, and old mattress removal. You're going to love the purple mattress. Right now, our listeners, you get a free purple pillow as well. Ooh.
Oh.
Perfect for the purple mattress. In addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide, text the word ROB to 84888. The only way to get the free pillow is to text ROB to 84888. That's ROB to 84888. Message and data rates may apply. All right, T-Bird, tell me about Dean.
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know what to think about Dean. I was interested, you know, I watched him pull his sleeves up and show his muscles.
Yeah.
I think that's what Rob said.
Yeah.
I think that's what Boston Rob said. And I mean, he's just kind of there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I know he was upset that Aaron left. Has Dean won any challenges yet? Because he looks like he's a very athletic guy.
Seems like, you know, he won the basketball challenge for his team. Like he was, I think him and Jamal were shooting the baskets and then they ended up winning when Jason went home. But no, okay. He has not really been a standout in the challenges. And even Boston Rob was making fun of him for rolling his sleeves up.
Well, the good thing about Dean at this point is he's not showing that he's a physical threat, even though, because this is kind of the time when you're looking at physical threats. But I don't know about his social game. Is he warmed up to the other players?
I don't really know. It's hard because we have not really seen him fit in too much with too many people. The one person that the couple people that he seemed to have good relationships with were, you know, early in the game, it seemed like that he was with Tom and Aaron, but then even Aaron had turned on him. And then he was with Chelsea and Chelsea got voted out. Then Kelly was trying to have his back and they had a mutual friend. And then Kelly got voted out. And then it seemed like that then Aaron is gone. So I don't know who he's with that he's just seems like that he's just a number for people. But who's going to waste a trip to tribal council to vote him out?
I know. So he might slip in there, too. And so we did see some gameplay out of Dean last night because he was trying to get them not to go ahead and vote off Janet instead of Aaron.
Right.
And Dan was kind of thinking about it. And we saw that moment where, you know, Dan was like, God, I'm kind of at 50-50 on what to do here, you know, between Aaron and Janet. Because now him and Janet have got their working relationship looks like it's back intact. And did you hear Janet? She actually, I think I heard her through the soundbite as they were kind of coming off of the conversation they had. I think Janet said something like, I swear to you on my family. Oh, so, and believe it or not, I think if Janet told me that and I was out there in the game, mm-hmm. I would actually believe her.
Yeah.
That's the kind of person she seems like. Yeah. So
I think she said that with to Dan, right?
She did.
Yeah,
she said it to Dan.
Yes. Well, that's what, because he was saying, and again, I thought that this was one of the tougher moments of the episode to watch, where he was like, okay, good. We're back to finally playing the game, which I'm sure is music to Dan's ears that we're back,
right.
back talking about the game. But Janet is, you know, it, on the bottom now. So yeah, it behooves her to, you know, get back in the fold. And so, yeah, she said that, you know, she swears that she's back in. So I do think that we're seeing the purple tribe. I do think that they are going to get back together. And I kind of feel like that it's that the alliance seems like it's going to be now Tommy, Lauren, Dan, Janet, and I don't know who else is at Vokai. And then I think it's going to be up to Elaine to sort of like pick up the other people, the, you know, Karishmas and Deans and Elizabeths and like these stragglers that are out there. And I kind of feel like that's what the battle is. I don't know if Elaine has any relationship with Nora, but that would be another piece for her to pick up.
You know, speaking about that, Elizabeth's another one of those kind of like Dean. We really hadn't seen much from her either, I guess, because she was overshadowed probably by Missy, because her and Missy were so tight. And And I just wonder which direction she's going to. I mean, she's like Janet. She's a free agent now. So it's kind of funny how these free agents, you know, are going to jump around, because you see that kind of messing up somebody's gameplay. These players that you really haven't seen do a whole lot that all of a sudden are moving in and you know, joining up with these other alliances. So it'll be interesting to see which direction Elizabeth goes in now that Missy's gone.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that if Elaine can put it together, that I feel like that, you know, if Elaine can get back, you know, she got Karishma this week. She was had Elizabeth as a solid ally. You know, she had Dean was on the original Lyra with her. Then there are four people that are left from the original Vokai. And then I feel like that Nora is sort of like the swing person in the middle.
Right.
But I think that she would probably stick with her old tribe.
Well.
And she hates Karishma.
You're talking about Nora?
I kind of feel like that things are going to revert back to tribal lines, because I feel like that we have right now, based on there's 9 people left in the game. And so there are four people from the original version of Okai, and that's Tommy, Lauren, Janet, and Dan.
Janet and Dan, right.
And then we have then four people from, and Nora is also from there. But I think that Nora is somebody who could go potentially either way. And then you have Elaine, and all of a sudden Elaine has Karishma in her pocket. Which was what Missy wanted to do. I think Elaine actually does have Karishma with her. She has Elizabeth, who was more with Missy, but now I think without Missy gone, I think Elizabeth is now going to be back with Elaine. And then Dean, I don't know where his loyalties are necessarily. I don't know if he's more of, you know, a bro with Tommy, but we saw Elaine with, you know, with Dean originally on Lyra. So that if it comes down to it, like this could be, I mean, it's 5 versus 4 in terms of the tribal lines. And I really feel like that Nora is the person that could go in either direction.
Yeah, because you kind of figure when you get to this point, I would think unless something really, really happened when you started out from your original tribe, you're going to fall back as far as your loyalties to that original tribe. So,
yeah, and so that's why I think that Nora will stick with her original tribe. But I don't know, who is the Nora whisperer? Who is the person who is really, you know, keeping Nora on board with the plan? Like, this week was easy because she wanted to vote out Aaron and it made sense. But when push comes to shove, you know, she seemed very eager to vote out Dan 2 weeks ago, or, you know, 2 votes ago when it was first brought up, that she gave like a really excited confessional about, like, we're writing down D-A-N. I can't wait. And she seemed very excited about that. So I think that she would be on board to take out somebody from that side potentially. So I think
somebody could easily do a good sales job on Nora. And I think it's our girl Elaine.
Yeah, I think Elaine really gained a lot last night.
Her people skills are just, she's just so, the way she says things and she listens and she's, I think she might could convince Nora to come on over and leave Vokai. I'm thinking that. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Lauren and Tommy, we already know they're tight. And I guess Dan, but then of course Dan's kind of got Janet. Who knows? Hey, maybe Dan jumps over. Dan might jump over.
Oh, boy.
Well, hey, I know, but he's out there. He's out there.
He is part of the GOAT army in terms of, like, all the people that are getting potentially dragged along to the game.
Well, the GOAT army is assembling now. You know that, right?
Right.
You saw that.
Right.
It's assembling. Oh, gosh. So I thought a couple of things from the immunity thing, because Dan last night, you know, I think a lot of people wonder, because I even did when I first watched the Survivor, you know, Borneo and Australia, I always thought, when Jeff Probst talks and tells you about your challenges, he says it real fast and then everybody gets in line and gets in, you know, I'm like, I always wonder, does he say it more than one time? Because it looks like it's like a lot to try to figure out.
Yeah.
So I was always wondering about that. But last night, I have to say that I thought this was kind of funny when Jeff, when Probst was trying to get everybody, you know, situated for the immunity challenge, he goes, okay, we're competing in two groups. We're going to have two people. We're going to win immunity. Two people are going home. Okay, here we go. So everybody start spinning. Give you a minute to get started. Then I'll call this challenge to begin.
Mm-hmm.
Give everybody, that he kept talking, give everybody a shot to get their momentum and get that ball spinning, and the challenge will be alive from that point forward.
Yeah.
Everybody's good, just waiting on Dan. So he kept talking for the longest. That they obviously didn't edit it. And then at that point, they finally said, okay, Dan, you've got 15 seconds to get it going.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of comical how Jeff talked the whole way through trying to get Dan to get his little ball going, you know, in a circular motion.
Right.
That was kind of
fun.
Because like I said, they usually pretty much just show in this challenge is on. And then it kind of seemed like Probst just kept going on, and here we go, and everybody start, give him, you know, he just kind of kept talking. So I thought that was kind of interesting to watch. And then also Janet, bless her heart, Janet's style when she was swinging her ball was kind of cute too.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had their own style as they were doing the immunity challenge.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
T-Bird, I know when we were talking over the summer, I know you weren't really thrilled about the Robin Sandra of it all in terms of the idea of bringing back the coaches.
I was afraid you might ask me about that.
Yeah.
I think I said I'm not big on it. I'm not big on it. But I said, let me just get into it and let me see what I think. Let me just get into it. Well, now where are we? Day 27. No, I am not a fan of that. Now, I told you I wanted to let it play out. Let me see how I felt. So now we're at day 27. I just have not warmed up to it at all. It doesn't seem like it was necessary. However, I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to be positive because I've got a great idea because the way they had Boston Rob and Sandra out there, I think a great kind of funny idea because of what Rob did last night to have two past survivors coming back doing some type of commentary off to the sidelines like they were doing. That has been the most amusing, funniest part to me.
Okay.
Those two kind of bantering back and forth in their little secret, you know, shack there, their little spy shack there. So this is what I was thinking. Wouldn't it be kind of funny if every season they had two different survivors from a season from the past, a male and a female sitting there kind of making little comments. So imagine if you've got, let's see, let me think. Imagine if you've got somebody like a Randy Bailey, because basically we had that with Reem for Edge of Extinction, right? They kept going back to Reem for her comments on different things, and we loved it. It was fun. It was, you know. So I'm thinking you put two people in the spy shack. Let's start. We start with Randy Bailey, and we got to have a female. Kelly Goldsmith from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
As funny and clever as she is, can you imagine? Or say you take somebody like a Cass.
Mm-hmm.
Cass from Kai Guyan and Second Chances. Throw Cass in there with somebody like with War Dog. So Cass out there with War Dog sitting in there and just doing kind of behind the scenes commentary, making little comments. That could be cute. So I'm not big on Boss Rob and Sandra being out there with going to the Island of the Idols. I've not found much worth in that, but I do like the Spy Shack thing with throwing in some different people doing commentary.
Yeah.
How's that?
I like that idea. I think that would be fun. Do they need to be out there? Could they just be like, could you have it on CBS All Access where then, you know, Randy Bailey and Cass are just watching the episode
and then
commenting?
That would be so funny. And each week, you just get two different people each week. I mean, each week, you know, you get Sheehan, put Sheehan out there or PG with Fair Play or, you know, put different people out there. Tony and oh, God, just. That would be comical. But so do you know, this is what I was thinking. Do you know that Sandra and Boston Rob must be bored, stupid?
Yeah.
Can you imagine how boring? I mean, just as a player, they have got to be just bored, stupid.
Oh, yeah. I agree. You know, in that interview that Dalton Ross did with Jeff Probst today that, you know, Jeff Probst did not talk a lot about the whole controversy from last week, but he did give a tease for next week's episode. And he said that one of the things coming up that Rob and Sandra are like an old married couple getting on each other's nerves, which I had been sort of keen as somebody who's part of a, you know, old married couple, that I could spot that from a mile away, that Rob and Sandra were getting on each other's nerves based on these little videos we were showing.
Yes, I would think they would be bored stupid. I don't see what they're really...
Especially we've had, what, four people voted out? And what have they done since they got to the merge except for, you know, ruin Jamal's game?
Oh, poor Jamal. I like Jamal a lot.
I mean, Jamal was in a bad spot, but they didn't do Jamal a solid when he showed up on the Island of the Idols.
No, it didn't help him a bit. I'm trying to wonder, what would I have done differently if they had handed me a blank, you know, piece of paper there and a pencil? I'm not even sure what I'd have done. I've thought about it 100 times. And then I'm wondering this. Are they told not to tell the others that Boston Rob and Sandra are there? Is that a big secret?
I think that, yeah, I think that they've been instructed not to say anything about it because still nobody knows about it. But on the other hand, the only players that are actually in the game that have been to the Island of the Idols right now are Elaine, Elizabeth, and Nora. Those are the only three people. There's nine people left. Only three of them, we're 10 episodes in. Only three of the people that have been to the Island of the Idols are still in the game.
I want to know how in the world Nora has kept from saying anything to anybody unless they just edited it out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because Nora, if she's thinking it, it's coming out. She's going to have to say it.
T-Bird, I'm looking at like my notes here of this alliance that I scribbled down of like Elaine and Karishma and Elizabeth and Dean. Do you think that the fact that that Elaine and Elizabeth and Nora all went to the Island of the Idols, that could be something that ends up bonding them together? And then the other people who do not know what the Island of the Idols is, that could be something against them.
Whatever you can find in common with somebody else that will, you know, bond you is absolutely a good thing. But let's don't forget this. And this is what kind of remains to be seen. Missy seemed to have such a good, tight relationship with Elizabeth. And the Missy's parting words weren't so kind to about Elaine going to Elizabeth.
She said, I want you to, you have to kill Elaine slowly and methodically, which ideally on Survivor, slowly and methodically is not really the best way to take somebody out. Usually it's like as quick as possible. And, you sort of just want to like take the shot. You want to be more of a sniper than somebody who's has somebody, captured in the dungeon for a long time.
Right. So you got to kill Elaine slowly and methodically. So I'm just kind of wondering if that's going to leave an impression, if that's going to leave an impression with Elizabeth or not. So, I mean, it's hard to say if that will turn her against Elaine or not. I mean, because Elizabeth could look at it like, hey, you just messed up my whole gameplay. So I think I'm going to go over here and I'm going to get with Nora over here with the old vocab. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where she ends up. So, but you know what? Another thing I was thinking about that's different now from, you know, old school to new school. So the old school days, remember when we were voted out? We were sequestered. We were watched every minute. We could not talk gameplay at all.
Mm-hmm.
So now that's not the case. I mean, they can talk about everything. I mean, you even had Missy, you know, basically after she was voted out last night, she was kind of doing a little interrogation with, you know, who voted for me and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So,
yeah.
I mean, a lot has changed from the, you know, from old school where you basically, once you're voted out, you don't know anything about anything.
Yeah.
So that's certainly not the case now. So I wonder, like I said, how true and how Elizabeth is going to react to Elaine now that, you know, that Missy's gone, if she'll hold true to that or if she'll say, hey, I got to pick myself up and if I'm going to get further in this game. You know what's funny? So Elizabeth being an Olympic swimmer, an Olympian, She, and I know she's been right there with Missy, and Missy, again, I use the word passionate gameplay, has really maybe made me think that Elizabeth's gameplay has kind of been downplayed. You would think that she would be, you know, out there and playing it, but I haven't really seen that with her. So it's going to be interesting to see now that she's not with Missy anymore, what she ends up doing, if we see more of her actually playing her own game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that she had like a really big week one, and then obviously we saw a lot of her last week, along with Missy. But left to her own devices, yeah, I really don't know how she's going to go from here. She had a really rough night also from the weather. She seemed like that she was, her and Karishma seemed like they were the two people that were most affected by that really bad storm that came up. And then she also seemed like very upset. So I think that she might have also just been out of it in terms of like this cycle of the game.
Right.
So
when they showed that picture of them, when they showed the picture of them hovering together and in her hands, and then Missy's face covered, I mean, I could feel how miserable they were. So coming from that, and it kind of puts in perspective for people that have not played before, when you see how difficult this game is, when you're laying out there and Karishma has rats. I mean, to think you're laying there and a rat is running across your face. Well, running across your face, it's in her mouth. I don't know. It's all over. That really makes it really real. And then you show from there them waking up with the sand, and you could just, how many people hadn't been cold and then wet, and then throw in sand and cold and wet? That is just miserable.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's got to affect your gameplay and your mental, you know, how you can keep going in this game, especially when you get to day 27. But didn't Elizabeth say something like, you know, I didn't come this far? I don't know. What did she say? Something, I didn't come this far not to keep going.
Yeah.
So I think we might see some gameplay coming out of her.
Yeah. Okay. I believe it. I mean, that she's somebody who's certainly willing to play hard. So we'll see where she goes from here. T-Bird, I want to bring in some questions from the listeners, but if you don't mind, can I thank another sponsor?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I want to mention the Theragun, the handheld, battery-operated, professional-grade percussive therapy device that helps alleviate pain, improve mobility, and enhance performance. T-Bird, did you run on the treadmill before you did the podcast today?
Oh, my gosh. You absolutely... Okay. If you were a betting man, what would you say?
I would say yes.
Absolutely, 100 million, trillion, 1,000%, because I knew for this one, with everything that happened last week, and da-da-da-da-da-da, yes, I did.
Do you ever get sore muscles after you go too far on the treadmill?
No, only because I've been running for forever. But when I cross-train and do other things that I haven't done in a while, then absolutely, yes. That would be a yes. So Theragun seems like it would be a very good option for me.
Yeah, the Theragun, it's an easy-to-use handheld device that does percussive therapy, which means that it hits you over and over again repeatedly, but in a good way. It's designed to increase blood flow. Theragun provides a percussive therapy, which is unlike any massage device that you've ever tried. It's designed by a chiropractor. Even though Rob says, what's the deal with chiropractors? It's therapeutic for all body types. That after using the Theragun, you're going to feel relaxed and even pain-free. It's great for people that are working over a computer all the time, like myself. If you get a little bit of the tech neck, if you have sore muscles, that Theragun is going to be able to loosen you up so you're feeling good and able to get back to whatever you're doing, whether it's training or doing the simple act of just your work day after day. If you use it regularly, I saw also that it's great for your feet. I don't know if you have any shoes that are uncomfortable to wear. I know you're on your feet all day, T-Bird.
Yes, and big girl shoes. I like to wear those big girl shoes.
Yes, okay.
So, yes.
Well, percussive therapy is going to help with that as well. It's going to release tension, enhance muscle repair, and reduce any post-workout soreness, designed to speed up recovery and boost long-term performance. Get two free attachments with a purchase over at www.theragun.com/Rob. Relief from muscle tension, soreness, stiffness, and knots at theragun.com/Rob. Okay. T-Bird.
Yeah, that sounds like a good thing right there, Theragun. Yeah. Have you used that?
They sent us one to try it out, and Nicole is training for an adventure race. So she is we have it on standby. Okay. T-Bird, let's see. I got a couple of questions from listeners. Matt Price wants to know, T-Bird, will the sun come out tomorrow? First time in Survivor history that I'm not sure. It's a dark time right now for the Survivor fans. And I do feel like that this is the biggest crisis in the show's history in my almost 10 years of covering it. Do you have any comforting thoughts for listeners that we should we believe that the sun will come out tomorrow?
Gosh, absolutely. Rob, we have to believe that. We always have to believe that. But I think the key to it, Rob and Matt, that's a great question, is to just talk. Just everybody, talk about it and get your feelings out and help other people understand how you're feeling, where people may not know where you're coming from, and just talk about it in a healthy way and not in a accusing each other or a bashing way. Because we can learn stuff from each other. This. And that's healthy.
Yeah. I know. It's really tough right now. And, there are, so many people with, emotions that are all over the spectrum, from people that are just, hurt, and people that are just, downright angry. And it's very hard to have this kind of conversation because we all have so much to say.
Yeah. And again, Rob, it's like what we talked about at the very beginning. There's so many different things that everybody's feelings are different, depending, again, on past experiences, from who that you can relate to or what you think could have been done differently. So, again, I just think being able to talk about it with each other and is a very healthy, therapeutic way.
Yeah. T-Bird, I love getting to talk to you. That I really, it makes me feel better talking about the season to be able to talk about it with you. In terms of Missy's approach from the episode, that I feel like that, she was very locked in terms of like how she's going to approach things. In your work with, talking with all the people that are on the flights, how much do you have to mix up your approach when you're dealing with different people?
Oh, gosh, Rob. Well, everybody. I learned it's so interesting that you're asking me that. So, I work with the public and, I pretty much, I talk with my hands. I touch people. And Rob, anybody that's been around me for a second, I touch and hug everybody. And my husband and my kids will say, "Mama, you don't touch everybody." And I can't help it. It's just a very natural thing. Mm-hmm. And just last month, I was working up in our first class cabin, and I was talking to one of our, high value frequent flyers, to a female. We were basically about the same age, and we were talking, having a conversation about something, and I touched her arm, because I touch, and it's just very much a habit. It's the way I've always done, and nobody has ever said this to me before. Believe it or not, she said, "Don't touch me."
Yeah.
And she said it in a way, I like to kind of joke and kid around, but she said it the way she said it. I knew, oh gosh, don't touch her. Absolutely. And I just said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And I was so sorry, because everybody is different. So I reacted to her knowing that, in a way that, gosh, I've got to respect her her boundaries. And so I can't help but bring this up as I was watching the show with Dan these last few weeks when Kelly clearly said several times, because I just remember when this nice lady, like I said, about my age, said it, it was in a way that there was no way I would have ever thought about reaching out. I mean, I had to make myself tell myself, because like I said, I talk with my hands, I'm, you know, touching people and all that. So I was kind of surprised, and I know I keep hating to, I think we've got to move on with this by talking about it, but I hate to keep bringing this up, this part of it up, but I was a little surprised that he didn't get, if somebody said, don't do that, that you wouldn't, you wouldn't just not do it.
Yeah.
And that's the surprising thing to me. And because I did it myself to somebody that reacted that strongly, and I knew right then that, oh, I crossed the line. I'm sure she knows I didn't do it in a bad way, but it made her uncomfortable. And she told me. And so right away I stopped. So that's the confusing part to me with Dan, that if just one person had said that, and for him to go back and do it again.
Yeah, let alone multiple people.
I know that that's confusing to me. So that's again why I want to say, you know, where is Dan, or where is, you know, give us something, because I want to see the best in people, Rob. I just have to do that, because mm-hmm. It's easy not to. It's easy to say, oh, he's this or he's that or he's this. But it is confusing to me that if, you know, that he heard it from multiple people, that he didn't jump to attention right away and say, oh gosh, that's crossing boundaries. And so, you know,
yeah,
just something I've questioned myself about since all that happened last week.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying, that, you know, any person, any normal person would hear that and then respond to that. And I really think that from the production standpoint of the show, like, I don't think that they thought that they would ever be in a situation where somebody wouldn't, you know, if there was like a warning like that, that, you know, that they would ever be in a situation where they needed to have multiple warnings to people.
I know it. I know it. Just human nature would tell you, oh gosh, I just crossed the line. I didn't mean to. I'm so sorry. And so you asked me as far as, but just my line of work, my personality is such that I like to play around with people, kid around with people. But yeah, there are some people, they don't want that. And you, I mean, just self-awareness lets you know right away who, you know, who's okay with that, or who's okay with you kidding around, or who's much more serious. And so that's why, again, I question Dan and his self-awareness. And again, he's 50 years old. That's a little confusing to me. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you learn that in the game as you're out there with all these different people. You notice what you can say or what you shouldn't say about different things. So again, I just wonder about his, you know, Dan's self-awareness or lack of.
Yeah. Okay. T-Bird, Melanie wants to know, was voting out Missy the right move for Elaine? We've talked about it from the perspective of Karishma, but did you like Elaine getting on board with voting out Missy?
Well, I got a feeling it's good because Missy's such a strong player. I can't imagine Missy would have left Elaine in the game much longer, because I mean, she seemed at 24 years old, she seems to be fully aware of what it takes to get to the end. And somebody like an Elaine is not who you want to be sitting there with you. So I think it was probably a very smart move for Elaine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're probably right. You know, on the one hand, that they were both on the original Lyro together, and so they did have sort of like the original tribe numbers. But on the other hand, you know, Missy had Aaron, and you know, when these plans were made, Elaine didn't know that Aaron was going to be out of the game. You know, in hindsight, had they known Aaron was voted out, that maybe it might have been more of a point to keep Missy around, because the idea of, you know, reconnecting with the women, which was something that was talked about in this episode, would have been maybe a more viable idea with Elaine, Elizabeth, Karishma, Missy. They would have been able to potentially, you know, have that be the way that they wanted to go. But I think that for Elaine, that Missy was getting ready to flip on her at the Jason vote if Elaine didn't get the vote block. So I think that Missy did not have a lot of plans to go to the end with Elaine.
Right.
She wanted to go to the end with Karishma.
That's a great question, Melanie. That's a good question. And again, you know, Missy, you figure Missy had, she had Elizabeth right there with her. They had Aaron right there. All, I think her mistake basically was just the way she handled Karishma. Karishma just needed to, you know, to be handled a little more gentler, just like Elaine said, and she would have been in a good spot. And then, of course, we lost Aaron with a little tribe swap there at that, so. Hey, you know, this game can change on a dime. You know what? And that's funny, too, because at the very beginning, when it so holds true, when Janet was talking about, she doesn't know, I don't know what I'm going to do now, you know, with my gameplay. Mm-hmm. And she said, I think somebody asked her, I don't know if it was Karishma, said, do you regret what you did? And she says, no, I don't regret what I did, but I just don't know which direction to go. I'm a free agent now. And then I don't know if it was Karishma or Lauren, I thought, Lauren, that said, hey, this game changes minute by minute or day by day, and isn't it the truth? I mean, you can be at the very top of the world, like, you know, Karishma said Missy thought she was at the top, and then all of a sudden, it's over. You know, then Karishma's on the bottom, she finds an idol, and now she's back stronger than ever, you know, stronger in the game, with high hopes. So you really can't get down, because it does change. You just have to keep pushing and keep thinking of another way to, you know, to stay in the game. You can't slip for a minute and get down or give up. You have to just keep pushing and keep going.
Well, that's never you, T-Bird.
Well, I would hope not. I mean, I know conditions definitely affect all of us mentally and emotionally and physically when you're just exhausted. But I would hope not. I mean, what about you, Rob? You didn't do it. You hung tough too.
Yeah. But for me, you know, Survivor was easy. I mean, that there were times that were hard, but, you know, I feel like I never really dealt with, you know, any sort of, you know, emotional trauma from, you know, any time that I ever played on Survivor. So, you know, I don't really feel right comparing myself and my situation to what some of these players have gone through in this season.
Well, I can tell you, as far as Africa goes, just the conditions were so harsh, just absolutely terrible. Now, of course, I had nothing to compare it to. I was just happy to be there. But as harsh as the conditions were, and us having to walk to carry our water back every day, it was the people that we were out there with on the other alliance that made it where it was just terrible. It was just mentally, emotionally terrible. Mm-hmm. So when we had the tribe swap, I mean, it was like a whole new, it was kind of like Karishma finding the idol. I mean, my spirits were just picked up. And of course, I never gave up. But I'm telling you, that one person or two people that kind of pull you down or make you feel inadequate or whatever the feeling is can change everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the game changes every minute. You got to roll with it.
Yeah. T-Bird, let me bring in another question for you. This is from Laura. Laura wants to know, why would Elaine tell Missy that she flipped against her after the vote? Tommy seemed to take credit when Missy first asked who did it. Would it be better for Elaine's game if she pretended like Tommy was leading the charge, or was the jig already up and she wanted credit in front of the jury? I mean, that whole situation was really weird after the vote, right?
Yeah, Laura, that's a good question, Laura. Personally, I can tell you right now what I would have done there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have said a word. Hey, I wasn't going to tell Lex I voted for him. If you think I was going to stand up to Missy when she was standing up saying, yo, who did it? Yeah. Certainly, I would not have said a word. Nothing. Because you're right. Tommy had already said, well, hey, you came after me. So I would have thought, yeah, that's good enough for now.
Yeah.
That's good. So, yeah, I would have never, I would have, there was no need. I would have never said that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But, you know, Elaine is, again, she's a sweetheart and she just felt like, you know, coming out with that would, I don't know. No, I would not have, because you got to feel like you've got the jury over there that's going to vote on the winner. So I could pretty much safely say that I doubt that Missy is going to vote for Elaine if she gets in the finals. She won't.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't care who's sitting there with Elaine. Missy is not going to vote for her. And this is the thing, too, about these juries not being sequestered. There's a lot of things people can say to the other jury members that can cost you their vote. Which, see, I kind of like it when it was sequestered. Once you're out of the game where you still don't know what's going on, because that, to me, I hate to say fair and unfair because I just don't like to say that. But it seems like it would be more pure if once you're out, you're mm-hmm. out, and you can watch the tribal councils, but you can't go back talking because, I mean, you can say anything you want and make up anything you want that I'm sure happens, where somebody's going to lose a vote to something that somebody that's just got a bad feeling or is mad at somebody. And I don't think that's the way to have them place a vote that way. If you're in the game, it's totally different. All is fair when it comes to that. But once you're out and you have control over the other jury members, I would like to see that not happen.
Can I ask you a hypothetical? I think this is interesting. Let's say hypothetically that when you get voted out of the game, you go to your room. You're in solitary confinement. The jury, Ponderosa, it's not a party. Everybody's not hanging out all day. And now you just go, you do whatever you want, read, watch movies, you know, do, eat whatever you want. But then you're sort of in solitary.
Okay. Go ahead.
How many of the 38 prior seasons, how many seasons do you feel like the winner would be different if that happened?
God, that's a good question. I think it would. I think the winner would be different. How many times do I think the winner
like, would it happen two times, or do you think it would happen 20 times?
Out of 38 seasons, now, y'all were sequestered, weren't you?
We were. I mean, I was...
For your season?
So, in the Amazon, I was there for one night, so it wasn't much of a sequester. I'm sure you can relate.
We ate together. We hung out together. We had board games or whatever we played on that last couple of days, but we just couldn't talk gameplay. So it's not like we were locked in our, you know, locked in a room or in our tent the way we had this little tents close to tribal council. But I don't think the people that are outside of the jury should be able to talk to the others. And so you said, how much do I think it would affect? Let's just say we're season 39. We were all sequestered. I don't know what season did they stop doing that? Do we know?
Yeah, I don't know how much they were supervising by the Amazon, and I wasn't on the jury on the All-Stars, so I couldn't tell you.
All right, well, let's just round it up to season 10, just for 10. Say, so 10, and there's been, let's say, 28 seasons. How many winners would change if they had been sequestered out of 28? Oh, God, that's a great question. I'm going to say at least five.
Five.
Five to eight.
Five to eight. I think that's pretty reasonable.
So, and again, listen, this is what I'm saying. So there are personalities out here playing on every season that are strong, strong, strong personalities. For example, Missy Bird, 24 years old, military vet. I mean, she's an amazing woman, done so much. And she could be probably very convincing about why Elaine should not win, because she's upset with her, because she, in her eyes, she might feel like she's the reason she's out. So to have that behind the scenes kind of put in your ear and in your, you know, for however many days it is, whether it's 5 days or 10 days, whatever's left, that can affect the winner. I don't think that should happen.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens in the game, and then watch. And if you want to say something at tribal council that the jury can hear, then let it go. Let them say whatever you want to say. But once you're out of the game, you shouldn't be able to talk to each other about it.
Okay.
I just don't think so. What do you think?
I don't know how you would do it. I mean, some of these people are out of the game for, you know, 17, 18 days. Like, I don't know how they would, like, in a perfect world, I think you're absolutely right. I just don't know how they would police it.
Rob, they did it for us. I mean, the jury, well, there probably is a few more on the jury now than there was then.
Yeah.
But, I mean, God.
I think they probably had a bigger budget then, too.
Yeah. Well, and there's that.
Yeah.
Is that quite possibly?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question.
Yeah. Let me bring in a question from Jennifer Jones, who said, T-Bird, have you had any more haters turned into your number one fans on Twitter lately? You know, we started the podcast talking about some of the people on social media that are, you know, don't have nice things to say. Have you turned anybody around recently?
All right, now who is that from? Because you
Jennifer,
cut out on me.
Jennifer
Did you say
Jones.
Jennifer?
Yes.
Jennifer Jones, Jennifer. Okay, so I try, and so Rob, you know, especially with the topic from last week, coming into this week, I thought, you know, it's going to be so easy to say the wrong thing, so easy to hurt somebody's feelings or to make them feel like, you know, that I wasn't compassionate enough. So, you know, I try to think about all that, and then, so Jennifer, that's a great question. So I've learned all kind of things, and I kind of try to take it and to make it a learning moment. For example, Rob, you know about my bell here. Listen.
Yeah.
I've got now my podcast bell, which is my gift from you, which I love, down at my feet because somebody, in a way, said something about that podcast bell is ringing so loud. And I try not to take it in a negative way. I try to turn it into a learning experience where I'm like, okay, that's too loud. How can I make this where it's better? So, and I know at times, depending on what kind of negative feedback you get, I know it's hard. I mean, I try to take it into account and try to put it in perspective and say, okay, I can see why somebody wouldn't want to listen to me for X amount of time with what I get it. I totally get it. So I try not to take it personally. Sometimes you kind of can't help it.
Yeah.
But basically, if it's constructive stuff, I mean, if it's something about my accent or I talk too fast or I talk too loud or, well, it's kind of like me talking with my hands and flailing around. That's kind of the way I do. But if it's stuff I could actually try to fix, then I want to try to fix it because it's helpful. It's helpful for other people.
Sure. There's a difference between, you know, constructive criticism and just like outright hate. Outright hate, I don't know if there's anything you can do. Do you have any thoughts on that, T-Bird?
Well, I always think when somebody says something really hateful, I wonder, you know, why they're, what's making them say that? What is it that struck a nerve in them to make them? And again, Rob, that's where I go with just trying to talk about it. You know what? It's so funny because I sent a tweet out. Oh, gosh, I don't know if I can find it. Just this the Thursday night, because, you know, like I said, the one that I thought would be voted out first was Nora.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, with that being said, I got to say, you know, I told you I'd love Jamal a whole bunch. Jamal made a comment a few weeks ago about Nora. He said something like, and I love this quote, "Never play an underground game with Nora." Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure what that means. I don't know exactly what that means, but I love it. But I love it.
Yeah.
Never play an underground game with Nora. I love that, Jamal. That's classic. That's classic, Jamal. Anyway, so I said something. I did a tweet about Nora. And then I thought when I did it, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get some hits on this. Because I try to know that you can't make everybody happy. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I tweeted it, I had some people say different things just about it. Let me see. I'm trying to find it. You probably found it faster than I can.
Wait, your tweet about Nora?
A lot faster than I can.
Yeah, you said, and then there were none. Anybody else feel like at Nora Knows Best, one gameplay is picking up steam each week? That one?
Right. Yes. And so right away, I had a couple of people that were like, no, and blah, no. And I thought, oh. But then I thought, you know, it's still my opinion. And then some of them actually sent me private messages of why. They thought like they did. JJ's one of them. And it was good because we talked about it. And it's okay to think differently. and to feel differently. It's okay. So, but you have to, like I said, you have to take it. I try to take the constructive criticism and do something with it. If it's not, then I feel like maybe whoever's sending out the negative energy, there's something a lot more going on with them, and I don't take it personal. I try not to take it personal because I know it's just like the lady on the airplane that said, "Don't touch me." I knew it wasn't a personal thing with me. There was a reason that, I mean, she wasn't comfortable with it. So it's easy to get mad back and want to throw out ugliness.
Yeah, that's a good point, T-Bird, and you know, something that we have to, you know, try to remember, you know, but it's hard.
It's easy to want to throw that back and get that going, but why? There's no need for it. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help anything. So anyway,
yeah,
that's that on that. Jennifer, thank you for that question.
Right. You know, it can really, you know, throw these people off when you don't respond, you know, back with more hate also.
Yeah, I always tell my kids that. I say, you guys, if somebody says anything, just don't say anything. And actually, that's the best way to do it. Because like I said, there's a lot more going on usually anyway, and you can't win. All you can do, it's not good. It's not positive. All it do is it'll just pull you down. Gosh, Rob, I'm sure you know all about it with the work you do.
You know, to be fair, and that's why it's hard for me to really comment on these things. Like, I have no idea, you know, the kind of hate like, you know, Missy or Elizabeth or Aaron got after the episode last week. You know, I'd say, you know, 98% of the feedback that I get is, you know, really kind and thoughtful and nice and fun. And so I have no idea what it's like to be just, you know, completely destroyed on social media. You know, and I hope I never find out. But I just don't know necessarily what, you know, how I would be if I was ever in that position.
Well, that's a whole different level, what we're talking about now from what Jennifer just asked, you know, little things about what I'm talking about. But
yeah,
to have to go through like what you said that Aaron and Missy are going through, and it. Yeah, that's a whole nother level that, you know, and I don't hold against them that they didn't want to do their exit interviews. At some point, you probably have to say, you know what? I have to turn this off. I have to shut this down from my mental sanity and step back and just step back from it. Because a lot of times people don't realize how hurtful their words are, and they're not constructive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not constructive. So it's not like, hey, let me throw this out and say, maybe if you'd have said it maybe this way, or if you had done this maybe this way. But people, a lot of times, because their emotions are running so high, they just throw it out there. And then a lot of times when you're saying it behind a computer, behind your laptop, behind your iPad, behind your phone, it's something you probably wouldn't say to somebody's face. So it gives you a little bit more, you know, throwing things out there if you don't realize how badly and how deeply words can cut and how they hurt.
T-Bird, let me give you one more question. Matthew Allen wants to, who's T-Bird sharing a bowl of popcorn with after the season ends?
Oh, gosh. Well, Matthew, that's a good question, because hopefully we're going to be starting up our talking with T-Bird.
I say we start it next week, T-Bird. Yeah.
Matthew, you know, we're going from the end of this season straight into hopefully talking with T-Bird. So I'm hoping to be sharing popcorn with our first few guests, which we'll certainly let you know about sooner than later.
Yeah. So I got a text message from T-Bird earlier that was a video. I haven't played it. Should I play it on the podcast?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I see it's a picture of a popcorn maker. Let's see. Popping. Okay. No, there was no talking, just the popcorn popping.
Well, see, what happened was we actually did this podcast in a different location. I usually do it down at the farm. Well, we came up to a different location. So I came running, you know, driving up here on two wheels to get up here so Glenn, our angel, could get me set up. And then I'm like, oh, dear Lord, I forgot to get the popcorn. I forgot to get the popcorn going. So I grabbed the popcorn machine, and I figured you were waiting on me. So I sent you that to mean the popcorn's popping. It's about time to get this thing started.
Yeah.
So that was kind of your, you know, this is your few minute heads up that we're getting ready to start this thing.
Okay.
Have you heard me crunch popcorn at all?
No. Have you been eating popcorn during the podcast?
I have a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. No, I didn't hear.
But I've been trying to be very, very, very careful.
Okay. Usually I tell people not to eat on the podcast, but you've been very, very sly about it.
Rob, you're so funny. You always tell me that every time. Normally, I tell people not to eat popcorn on the podcast. You say that.
Eat anything on the podcast. I don't think it's a good idea.
I know. But Rob, this is what I told Glenn when I came running here on two wheels. I'm like, oh my God, I don't have the popcorn popped. You don't have the butter popped. And I was trying to set up everything. And it's now up to a point where it's kind of like more of a security blanket here for me to have. Mm. It's just part of my equipment. It's part of my equipment because I got my
part
big
of your ritual.
Bomb, I got the popcorn. I got this.
Yeah.
At my feet that I'm learning to control with my feet now. So life is good. Got okay. All of our podcast material here.
All right, T-Bird.
Okay.
T-Bird, Teresa Cooper, let me just say thank you for coming on and talking with me. Like, I really have, a lot of angst right now about, how to do the podcast. And I want to be there for people and talk about everything that's important. And it made it a lot easier for me today to come on here and know that I was going to get to talk to you.
Thank you, Rob. And thank you for that. I love our time together. I really do. I know you care and you know I care. And I love the Survivor franchise. So, when I've heard the last week that there were a few people that were going to just totally stop watching it and going to start doing this, I'm like, let's keep the lines of communication open. Of course, I certainly understand if you've had enough and you're opting out. I got that. But, I just can't do that. I think there's so much to learn from this social experiment that we get to watch every week in our homes that mm-hmm. It can help us be better people. If we just listen to each other.
Yeah.
So if there's anything I've said today, I want to put this footnote, anything I've said today that's offended anybody, send me a private message. I'm glad to try to explain what kind of sense I was making or whatever. I'm totally, completely open to that.
Yeah. Look, and I don't know if I said the wrong thing at all here today, but I have no doubt that I'll say the wrong thing in the future at some point. And, I that's why I do hope, like, if that ever happens, I say the wrong thing, then, I want to be, very quick to come out and, apologize and say that, I that was not my intention to, say the wrong thing. And I hope that, that's why I usually, when I'm my best version of myself, hope to be always understanding of people, that have said the wrong thing in the past and, offer them the opportunity to apologize for the thing that they said, especially when that was not the intention that they had to, to hurt or to, get people upset.
Right. And Rob, we all come from different places, all kind of different places, all kind of different walks of life. And we've gone through different experiences and however many years we've been around from our background, our childhoods. So we might not can understand, but if we listen, we might not have gone through what they've gone through, but if we listen, we can understand maybe a little bit of what they've gone through. That'll make us more compassionate toward each other, because that's what this world is missing. It's just compassionate and listening to other people. I'll tell my kids this. I'm like, if somebody's complaining, there's no need to go back at them or say things. Most people just want you to hear what they're saying. You don't need to comment. Just mm-hmm. listen. Just
yeah.
listen to what they want you to say. So
yeah,
and I've enjoyed this, Rob.
And to tie it back to the Survivor episode where that, all these different perspectives on things, when Missy said at the tribal council and she spoke up and she's like, Jeff, I love you, but I want to call you out on that. There were, two people of color that won the immunity last week and you didn't even mention that. And that was something that was important to Missy. And it was something that Jeff admitted, like, I didn't even know that I should have said that. I think that, understanding where everybody is coming from on, these things. And then, there's been a lot of people that was like, well, of course they didn't talk about that. They were talking about everything that was going on with Dan and with yelling at Janet. And of course, and people are speaking to where they're coming from on that. And the more we can listen to each other about, how how we're, you know, feeling about all of these things. I feel like that's the only way that, you know, we can move forward, because that we have so many different places that we're coming from.
And Rob, with you saying that, absolutely, when Missy said it, I thought to myself, you know what? She's absolutely right. Her and Aaron just won the immunity, you know, the week, you know, the few days prior. And then I am reminded by this, our talking with T-Bird that we did, that was such a strong, a fantastic conversation that you and I had with Sean Rector.
Yeah.
From Marquesas. It was so enlightening. And if you've not had a chance to go back and listen to it, hopefully once this season ends, you know, you're going to have a few weeks before season 40 starts. I would love to get anybody's feedback on going back and listen to Talking with T-Bird with Sean Rector to get a feel for how he felt. And if you really listen to what he's saying, you'll probably say, you know what? I didn't think that way, but that makes sense from where he's coming from. So it was really good, really good.
Yeah.
Chat we had with him.
Yeah. No, that's a great thing to reference. And that way we got, you know, a lot of great feedback about that conversation with Sean Rector. And he really, you know, he was, you know, probably the first person to talk about race in a real way in the history of the show. And, you know, he still had like a ton of interesting things to say about, you know, how the show, you know, still struggles to deal with that. So if you're interested in hearing that conversation, check that out. If you search for Sean Rector in the archives on robiswebsite.com. T-Bird, thank you so much. And you know, you are really the sweetest person, and it's so nice to get to you know, catch up with you here during a time that is you know, a challenging time to talk about a show that we love.
Thank you, Rob. You know how I feel about you, and you know how I feel about the franchise. So thank you so much for including me in this important topic.
Yeah. All right, T-Bird, what else do you have going on these days?
Oh, nothing. Just getting ready for the holidays. Do a little bit of flying. That's
what do you do? Do you host the holidays?
Oh, yeah. I'm not much of a hostess.
Yeah.
So it's a blessing. My mom is still alive. She pulls together an amazing Thanksgiving. So I'm very, very blessed to have my mom still here. So we all get together at mom's. Now, what about y'all's? Because your family, I know that... Nicole's family's in New York, right?
Well, Nicole's dad and my mom, that they both live on Long Island. So really, Nicole and I don't really have any immediate family that's local. So we're gonna be just the four of us on Thanksgiving.
So y'all are staying. You're staying at your house there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
California.
Most holiday. Once in a while, you know, Nicole's sister actually lives on the West Coast, and she lives like 2 hours away. And sometimes we see them on the holidays, but you know, a lot of the holidays, it's just the four of us.
Well, I mean, there's probably other times you can get together and not feel so rushed.
Yeah.
At that time of the year, too.
Yeah, so. not to bore the listeners too much, but Nicole's actually working on Thanksgiving, so she's going to be at work during the day, and then we'll have dinner when she comes home from work.
You're going to have dinner cooked for her? You're going to have a nice spread laying out there for her, Rob? Come
yes,
on!
Yes, yeah, T-Bird, I'm going to be... Yeah, I'll be in charge. To be honest, my wife's not the greatest cook, so it'll be... There'll be no problem for me to... The bar is not that high.
So does Nicole say that? Does she say, like, I'm good with it, honey? I mean, because I'm the same way. Glenn knows what he's got here. I love to do cleanup patrol, but other than that, he knows what he's got here.
Yeah, you know, I'm teasing. Nicole does not care about it. She doesn't like turkey, so she doesn't really, she half-asses it. She's not super, you know, it doesn't get her undivided attention. If there was something that she really cares about eating, she'll pay more attention to it. We got into a huge fight a couple of years ago because we got a frozen turkey, and then I was saying to her before she was going to put it in the oven, I'm like, honey, I think there's like a bag of stuff that's like, supposed to come out of the turkey, and I didn't see it come out of the turkey. And then she's like, it's not in there. I'm like, honey, I think we should check. And she got so mad that I was like insisting that there was the, like, I don't know, what is the giblets? Whatever is like the plastic bag that's in there. I'm like, I think there's a thing in there. Yeah. And she's like, leave it alone. You think you know everything. I was like, and I insisted. And then, yeah, sure enough, like it was in there.
Oh, God, I lost you for a few seconds there, but it's okay. I know exactly what you were saying, and that's hilarious.
Yeah. Okay. All right. T-Bird.
That's good. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuffing. So it worked. It was, you know, we've gotten over it. We've gotten over it. But anyway, T-Bird, thank you so much. And always a thrill to talk to you. We'll be back with Jessica Lease on our feedback show later on this weekend, taking more of your feedback about everything that's going on with Survivor right now. And thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.